Before Rajan comes tonight and ministers to us, I want to I just want to take a moment and just tell you that how excited I am for what God is getting ready to do in this coming year, not only in our fellowship, but what God is going to allow us to do as a fellowship. And I believe God is beginning to open doors for us to do all different types of outreach and ministry. Matter of fact, I believe God is sending folks into our fellowship right now that have giftings on their life, that have ministry on their life. Not one that we can help support and be a part of, but also that we as a fellowship, there'll be opportunities for us to get together. And so my heart is just stirring which ways that we can reach Madison and reach this tri-state region and have an impact in this area. I just don't want to be a nominal church on the corner, folks. I want God to use us to impact this whole region. And and I'm praying, you know, today I was with a young man by the name of Billy Price, him and his brother Jonathan. They have a church in Cincinnati called City on a Hill. It's an inner city church, and Billy Price grew up in church. Him and his brother both grew up in church. And Billy, of course, is one of the most passionate men for God that I've ever met. And if you'd met him, you'd have thought that he's been on crack all of his life because he just has that persona. You know, he has long hair and goatee, and you know, he'd just be like, but he has never one day taken a drink. He's never one day taken drugs. He's never one day listening to secular music. But God has given him an incredible passion. And he's been doing what's been called hope over heroin. And he did it in Hamilton, Ohio, and they had 10,000 people show up at his hope over heroin. And they've been flooding these drug-addicted people into the local churches after they have these crusades. He did one in Newport, Kentucky, where they had 7,000 or 8,000 people showed up. And so me and him were talking today, and we're praying about God opening the door for us to do one here in Madison. And we're going to go downtown, and he's got a professional stage, a concert stage, and he's part of a band. It's a different band. Him and Lawrence Bishop, which is the son of Darlene Bishop, who pastors Solid Rock Church up in Middletown, the great church. They do this Hope Over Heroin, and it's a 3-day event. And what they do, they need churches to be involved. And what they do is they go into a particular area and they set up for 3 days. And then we do the legwork by working with churches, going to the areas, inviting people who are addicted to heroin, inviting people that have addictions in all kinds of areas. And for 3 days, they preach the gospel, they sing, they worship, they minister, they set up these huge troughs like tubs. They set up right downtown full of water. And so when people come to Christ each night, they line them up and they baptize them right there in those big tubs. And so it's a powerful thing. I'll let you see some of the video. I really believe God is leading us to help do this in this area. There is a real strong presence of drug addiction that is in this area that has captivated this region, Austin and Scottsburg and VV and Versailles and Milton and Carrollton, and we're going to maybe do it right down on the river, and we're going to do it right out in front of everybody where the devil and everybody can see it, and we're just going to go ahead and deal with some of these things in the church. And so you pray. This is how you need to pray. One, you need to pray that churches will break down the walls of jealousy, divisional lines, all those things that keep churches from working together, that God will give us a core of people. They don't have to be involved financially. Believe me, Billy and those guys don't need no money. It helps, but they are not going to do it based on whether or not the money that it's taken. Now, it takes money to do it, but, you know, God has blessed them, and they if we didn't give them a dime, they would do it. But we're hoping that churches will get on board and help us, and whether a church will help us financially or not, they'll provide people to help us do the work And you know, we're just praying. We're just praying with us that God will open the doors for churches to work with us. Also pray that God will begin, that we'll begin to break that spirit of drug addiction and addictions in this region. Families are being torn apart, folks, by drug addiction. It is the fastest growing addiction in America. It is totally captivating our whole country, not just certain regions. And it doesn't just touch those that are poor. It affects those that are wealthy. It affects those in every economic class that are dealing with these addictions, and it destroys homes. But I'm telling you, I'm praying, I'm believing that God will allow us to do this. I'm so excited about it and pumped up about it that if the Lord allows us to do this, we're just going to have to pray. Pray that we have favor with the city. Pray that God will give us favor with the mayor and with the council, that we're able to do these things. Pray that God will give us favor with the business community, and pray that God will allow us that there will be no uprising that will come and try to keep us from outreaching like this. And it's an undertaking, and it takes a lot of sacrifice. And then after it's over, we have to have a place to send these people and to deal with them and to begin to deal with their addiction and begin to help them put their families and their homes back together. But God is a big God, and there's nothing, I said nothing, that God cannot do. And so we believe that. We're going to trust God in that. And I already feel the devil getting mad already, just trembling at the thought of it. So you be praying with us. And so God is good. Well, without further ado, it's good to have this wonderful man of God with us tonight and his family. He's a missionary to India, and he has an incredible testimony, a third-generation Christian. And he was telling me earlier about how that his grandmother had been affected by the missionary ministry of Amy Carmichael that had gone into India and had an impact on his family for years, and that he's a graduate of ORU, Oral Roberts University, and God supernaturally helped him get to college, helping get through college. He would go to his mailbox, and money would just be there for books and for provision. And when he left ORU, his debt was totally paid. God had paid that off for him. And him and his wife have been going back and forth from the States into India. And, of course, you've met his wonderful children whom he is blessed with. And so I love men of God. I love men who love to live by faith. And so it's just, I'll let him pronounce his last name. I know it's got a chin in it. I'll allow him to say his last name. But would you stand up and put your hands together and welcome this incredible missionary with us tonight? Hallelujah.
Come on, let's give Jesus praise tonight, because he is worthy of all of our praise. Come on, put your hands together and give him praise. Somebody say, I love you, Jesus. Oh, one more time. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, you should say it with a smile. Come on, big smile, everybody. God gave us teeth not just to eat, but to smile. Yeah, that's right. Hallelujah. At least in this nation, with all the surgeries that are available. You know, no one knows which is real, which is not real. Come on, you all have good teeth. Smile. Say, I love you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, pastors, for giving me the opportunity to be here. It's a real privilege, and I thank God for this great opportunity. My wife and I, God has blessed us with 7 children, and we live and minister in the nation of India. I'm grateful for that privilege. I'm glad that God helped me to be born in India. I tell you why, because it's the world's largest open harvest field. Amen. Full of souls. You know, we never run out. We have so many people. I still remember the first time I arrived in America. I came through New York and then reached Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's the first time I had an opportunity to go outside an airport. And I'm in this vehicle heading to Oral Roberts campus, and all I see is road and some cars, and I'm looking, nobody's around. I'm thinking, I must be in a wilderness place. Because if you ever come to India, the first thing you see is masses and masses of people, but every one of them were created by God, and each one of us, we have a living soul. And this body may die, and one day we will be buried, but the soul never dies. And the exciting privilege, every one of us, whether here or any part of the world, is that we as believers have the opportunity to tell people about Jesus Christ and demonstrate his power. That's a crucial thing. We need to demonstrate his power so that people know that this God is a living God. I want you to go with me into India quickly. I want you to see this beautiful testimony of a husband and wife who received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We have the opportunity to use the medium of television to tell people about Jesus Christ. And this is, people receive Christ every day. And this is a story.
I was drowning in debt, and finally I was so much in debt, the creditors were after me.
I confronted my husband and I asked him what's going on. He told me that we were 1.2 million rupees in debt.
We were very religious. We were Hindus. We've been Hindus all our lives.
My husband told me that he had gone from temple to temple and he had been praying to our gods, and that there was absolutely no help. I didn't know what to do, and I said, I just screamed out to my husband, what are we going to do? And his reply was that we were going to commit suicide. He felt in his heart there was no other way for us except to end our lives.
That was the only solution that I could think of. There was no other way.
I felt my husband was probably right. There was no other way.
And I told her that when I came home that evening, that I would bring poison, and then we will never have to face this death again.
The news hit me so hard. The TV was on in our home, and I wasn't paying attention to it, but all of a sudden I heard man talking about that there was a family who was in debt, and that God had a miracle for this family if they would give their lives to Jesus Christ. When my husband came home from work, I told him about it. So I just asked him if he would just watch the program with me the next day on television.
She was convinced that there is something wonderful that's about to happen.
So the next morning, we sat down and we began to watch the program, and this man on the television said the exact same thing that he had said the day before.
The man said, there's a family there that's planning to commit suicide because of tremendous financial debt, and that if we will just pray to this God he was speaking about, then we will have a change and a difference. And so we invited Jesus Christ to come into our heart.
When we were done praying to Jesus, we felt totally different. When we had prayed to our Hindu gods, we never felt that way. We never felt hope in our hearts. But when we prayed to Jesus, we felt real hope that God was going to give us a miracle, that we wouldn't have to die. When we looked around the room, we knew right away that all of those Hindu gods had to get out of our house. We didn't want them near us anymore.
We took all these idols and pictures that we had. My wife and I stood there. We took these idols and we cast them into the water, never ever to see them again.
It just felt like we were free. God did give us a miracle. We found that when we trusted in Jesus, he helped us to clear our debts. We had amazing things happen in our family that helped us to be able to pay off the debts.
Almost all of our 1.2 million rupee debt is almost over. We never thought we would live to see it, but it's happening.
We just love Jesus. We've been baptized, and our lives are just totally different.
Exactly like the man on the TV said, that Jesus Christ would help us if we would give our lives to him. And that has become true in our lives now.
We're free. We're living a new life with Jesus. God is so good. He really did give us a miracle.
Wow. Isn't it wonderful to see people give their lives to Jesus Christ? And that what a great love our God has for every one of us. You know, the Bible says he even knows when a sparrow will fall to the ground. And if he cares about the sparrow. It's an additional miracle here. Our program is every day. And the lady listened to the program one day, and that's when she was not even planning to listen. She just so happened she came across it and sat and listened just to the part where the word of knowledge came and prayed with us. And the next day, a new program should run, but the network made a mistake and reran the same program. And that's how the man got to hear the same program and hear the same word of knowledge. And immediately they both gave their lives to Christ, you know. So the God you and I serve is such an awesome God. He can work miracles beyond what we could think. You know, he could even orchestrate what looks like a mistake to us is actually one of the greatest blessings. And so this husband and wife are serving the Lord. As they said, they are baptized, living for Jesus. The debt is paid, and they recognize that the God we serve is not only a Savior, but also a provider. Yeah. Hallelujah. So this is what's going on in the nation of India. This is the greatest hour that my nation has ever had. And we want you to pray for my nation. I want you to also see a few things. One of the vision call on our life is to train believers to do the work of God. And what you're seeing here is a conference called God Bless Our Nation, which we do across our nation. We go state by state, do this event. We rent big auditoriums, bring 1,000, 2,000 people at a time. Sometimes it's 7 days, sometimes 10 days, sometimes this last one we did was 20 days. Each one of these are in places where the gospel has not been preached much, yet people come because there's such a hunger for God, a desire to be anointed, a desire to receive the anointing and walk in his power. They'll spend hours with us. You know, these are village area pastors that come. My children are rising up, standing with me. That's my oldest daughter teaching there. And my second daughter singing, leading worship there. And it's been exciting. That is a 15-passenger van, if you didn't know. That man, his 15-passenger can have different meaning in different parts of the world, and this is our understanding of. I tell you, Ford cannot compete, Chevy cannot compete. Now that is a mode of transportation. This is in an actual road, you know. You don't need a driver's license to operate the elephant, no. Can you imagine if an elephant pulled up in your parking lot, somebody got off that? You know, you will have a big crowd. Pastor, downtown, when you do that, you better get some elephants. This is a beautiful testimony. You see a church service here. The young man who's pastoring the church was trained by us a few years ago. After that training, he went back to his area, started going from house to house. And the first place he stopped, the man of the house opened the door and he asked him a question. Do you need a miracle? I'm here to pray for you. The man said, yes, you know, I have a heart problem. The doctors had given me only a short time to live. This young man laid his hand on the man's heart and prayed, and God healed him, and the man knew he was healed. And as a result of that, that day, that whole family received Jesus Christ. So everyone you see in that picture, and I'm pointing over there, the picture is both places. Everyone has come from a background other than a Christian background. They're born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in water. And he has got several services, that young man. He bought that little place and built it. So that's his church. And this is something that God is doing everywhere we go. People's lives are being transformed. This is in the northwest part of our nation. It's a rural area. And this is another testimony. A husband and wife both came to be trained. You know, I tell you, a husband and wife team is an unbeatable team because God put them together. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. I tell you, your spouse is your greatest asset. And that couple went and started the church. There are 8 other churches in villages. This is, again, in the northern part of our nation, right in the heart of our nation called Nagpur. This is a tribal area. everywhere, you know, the door is wide open for people to receive Christ, to be trained, to be raised up, so in turn they can go and bring forth fruit. And this was done in August in Punjab, the state of Punjab, the city is Amritsar. The Lord spoke in our hearts to do this conference. They belong to the Sikh religious faith. They wear the turban. And God sent us 85 people whom we were able to teach and train in the Word of God, pray with them, and mighty things began to happen, miracles, transformation of life, new direction, vision, and almost every one of them have started churches, doing meetings. This young man came to our event. His father was extremely sick, so sick that the hospital required a family member to be there 24 hours a day with that patient, and he was the one supposed to be there. He heard of the conference. God spoke in his heart to go. It took him 3 days of traveling to come where we were. But after he came there, his mother would call him every day, tell him how his father is really, really sick, deteriorating. You need to come back. And on the third day, he was so challenged by the word of God that he began to pray and say, God, if you are really my healer, I want you to touch my father and heal him. And God touched his dad. Fourth day, his mother called him and said, your father is perfectly well. They're actually going to discharge him from hospital. See, that is so crucial for all of us. You know, it's time that we prove that our God is really who he says he is. And all of our events, you know, the thrust is, it's not just I came to a great conference, heard some great teaching, but it has to result in souls. And so we took them north of where the conference was, 25 miles north into a village area, about 60 villages in that area. And we got this place. This is the area where farmers bring all of their crops to sell. It's filled with rice fields all the way around. And we took our people there, divided them into teams, and sent them into these villages. They had flyers in their hand. This is going into that place. And you see those little vehicles there? It looks like a golf cart. It's actually a little taxi we use in India. They're called autos, and they're small enough to get into these villages. And they went from village to village, knocking on doors. We prayed with them so that nothing will happen to them, no accidents, people won't attack them, because the places we go is really very violent areas when it comes to the gospel. And God protected them. And oh, this horse pull cart brought Aquafina water to us, so I just thought you will enjoy seeing, you know, here you see trucks pulling in with water. But the biggest joy was they went there, told the people, we are going to do this event. We want you to come. Jesus will touch you, heal you. You don't have peace. You need victory in your mind. You need to come. And so God used them. It was a hard work, but God was with them, gave them great favor. Not only were they taught and trained, now they're beginning to, just like Jesus, to seek and to save. And that's what happened. And then when the event got started, we sent buses like these. We bussed in 4,000 people. In this state, you can ride at the bottom and at the top. So you get your, you know, double your money's worth. You know, it's a great investment. This homemade vehicle that you saw. But people came in these buses filled because of a great hunger to experience the power of God. The sick, the lame, they came, and we had the opportunity to preach the gospel. That's a section of the crowd there, and pray and lead them to the Lord. And the men and women that we had taught and trained, they began to lay hands on people night after night and pray, and began to see God fulfill his word. Remember, the Bibles, these are drivers of the buses, some of the drivers there, listening to what was being preached. The Bible says, and the Holy Spirit accompanied them and confirmed their words with signs, wonders, and miracles. That's what they saw. They, you know, they didn't have to wait for somebody else to pray. They discovered that if they would pray with authority, based on the word of God, then God will fulfill his word. Like this young man, he was a worship leader, couldn't sing for 2 years because of a growth in his throat. God healed him in the conference. Now he's praying for people who are sick. So it was exciting to do this. And now there are five churches in this area where we did this event. brand new churches, and we're very grateful for everything God has done, miracles that you saw. But we want you to pray for our nation. This is the entire people who came to this last conference. We want you to pray for India, because India is right now experiencing the greatest move of God ever in all of its history. And when you think of India, you know, probably you've seen Indian restaurants, maybe in the stores you saw some Indian people, because there's so many Indian men and women coming to this nation because of work. But pray for our nation. Our nation doesn't know Jesus Christ. Most of the people are Hindus. The second largest Muslim population lives in India. But the hearts of the people are wide open. They are discovering that all the idols that they are worshiping cannot answer, cannot love them, cannot change their lives. Only Jesus can. So this is the greatest hour. So pray for us, for our protection, because everywhere we go, we fast and pray for protection. And pray for our protection. Pray for our nation, that people will be saved. And above all, I want you to have a part, even today, as Pastor gives you an opportunity, be involved, because your seed will make a big difference. As we do our television programs, it's very crucial because everything costs. But, you know, for $300, we can do a nationwide program that touches anywhere there's cable, anywhere. You know, today, if you go to India, one-room huts, mud floor, mud walls, coconut leaf roof, never seen an indoor kitchen or an indoor bathroom, they have cable TV. Isn't that wonderful? God has already wired India. And it's a very exciting time. And so we want you to have a part. You know, every $300 helps us to hear a half-hour program. And so have a part in India, because your seed will bring forth the harvest. Pastor said, you know, earlier he mentioned Amy Carmichael. People sent her to India from Ireland. Very difficult times. You know, it took her months of ship travel to get to India. And she led many people to the Lord. One was a little girl, 11 years old. And that little girl came from a Hindu family, was persecuted. But Amy raised her, got her married to a Christian man. And that lady became my grandmother. And so 3 generations later, the work of God still goes on. So you never know. You cannot measure your seed by what you are doing today. Today it may be a sacrificial seed. Today it may be out of abundance. But whatever it is, God will bless it and increase a harvest in your bank account in heaven. Amen? I want to minister for a few minutes, and then I would love to pray for you, for your breakthrough, for your victory, for your miracles. The God we serve is an unlimited God. We face limitations in our life, but our God is an unlimited God. He is unlimited in power. He is unlimited in wisdom. He is unlimited in ability. And he is a sovereign God. He is also our Heavenly Father. We have been given and conferred upon us the title Sons of God and Daughters of God. And it is so crucial that we take the time to know who he is by reading the Word of God and walking with him and experiencing the life that he has provided us. Jesus said, I came that you may have life, and life more abundantly. There is an abundant life. There is a life that God has that is filled with purpose, that is filled with direction. And he doesn't send us on our own and say, well, you are on your own, I'll see you on the other side. No, he's a God who says, my name is Jehovah Shammah, which means I am with you all the time. Especially times when the devil is lying to you. The times when he is giving you a different interpretation or perspective of your circumstance. When things look so hopeless and dark and you feel like maybe I've been wasting my time. That is a time that you and I need to rush to God, cling to him, cleave to him, because it's time for a breakthrough. Because the God we serve, hallelujah, let's give him praise. The God we serve from the beginning of time has used men and women like us, has indwelt them, poured His anointing, His power, His Holy Spirit in their lives and has done extraordinary things that will please Him and that will fulfill His plan. Our lives are important. No matter who you are, how old you are, what has happened in your past, today is a new day. Today is a day to know God, to experience Him, to receive His anointing, and most certainly, His plan and purpose for our lives. Hallelujah. The God we serve is a God who makes the impossible possible. I want you to look at Genesis chapter 17. We're looking at the story of Abraham and Sarah, the most famous couple in the Bible. God called Abraham when he was 75 years old. This is a very important number. He's 75, his wife is 65, and their call is recorded in Genesis 12. God tells him, I want you to leave everything. People here, you know, your father's house, follow me, and I'll take you to a land that I'll show you. But I'll bless you as you obey me and make your name great, and I'll make you a father of nations, and the families of the earth will be blessed because of you. So this man took his wife, who was 65, took all the cattle he had, and started going towards a land that God was going to show him. Remember, it's a day before there were any GPS or any maps or whatever, and you know, all you had was God telling you that He's going to take you. He's faithful. He follows God. And time keeps going by, and he and his wife still have no children. You would think if God wanted to create a nation, He will choose somebody who already had 50 children or 70 children, which is very common in the Middle East. But God chose a husband and wife who cannot have any children and told them, I'll make you the father of many nations. He believed it. He trusted God and began to walk with God. And different times God would appear to him. Once God woke him up in the middle of the night and told him, I want you to come on out and look at the sky. That night, the sky was cloudless. You know, the sky from one end all the way to the other end. Millions of stars. And God asked Abraham, Abraham, can you count these stars? Nobody can count the stars. And God told him, so numberless shall your seed be. On a different occasion, God told him, look, Abraham, this ground you're walking filled with grains of sand. Can you count the sand? Nobody can count the sand. And God told him, if somebody could count the sand, they can count the number of your descendants. So numberless shall your descendants be. Now, very important, these are not words spoken by a well-meaning friend. Rather, these are words spoken by a living God, a God who cannot tell a lie. Hallelujah. Every promise in the Bible, every word that God has spoken are true. It is backed by Him and His power. And these promises are not fulfilled because of us. Rather, God is faithful to His word and to what He has spoken. Hallelujah. So in Genesis chapter 17, God comes to see Abraham, and He looks at Abraham and He says in verse 15, God told Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you will not call her Sarai anymore. She shall be called Sarah. She will be a princess, the Amplified Bible says. And then God says, I will bless her and surely give you a son by her. I will bless her and she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. By now, she is 90. Abraham is 100. 25 years have gone by. This man and his wife keep believing God every day. And God tells them here, I'm going to bless your wife. I'm going to change her name. Her name is called Princess, not Sarah anymore, but Sarah. And I'll give her a son. And God tells him, and she will be the mother of nations. When Abraham heard it, I think it was so funny to him. The Bible says in verse 17, he just fell down face forward and laughed and said in his heart, will a son be born to a man who is 100 years old? And will Sarah bear a child when she is 90? He's 100. His wife is 90. it was absolutely impossible in the natural realm for this miracle to take place. Yet we need to remember who spoke those words. Not a man, but God. The God who created the heavens and the earth. When you stand outside and you see the sun, the moon, the stars, the beautiful landscape that you are living in this part of the world, we need to remember that our God spoke it by his spoken word, and it was filled with power. That words he spoke did not hit something and echo back. Rather, those words were fulfilled by our God. Chapter 18, again, God comes to visit Abraham. And this time he says to Abraham, now Abraham, Bible says, Genesis 18, 11, now Abraham and Sarah were old, well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. And then God tells Abraham that he's going to come back and see him. And by the time he comes back, Sarah would have had a son. The Bible says, Sarah was listening. Verse 12, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have the pleasure, and my Lord, meaning her husband, being old also. Now God heard her laugh. She is 90. I think she has the liberty to laugh. She's thinking, man, how many more candles are we going to add to my birthday? And you know, the Lord knows what's in our heart. God didn't, you know, he's talking to Abraham, and she, the Bible says, if you read the chapter, she's standing in the behind the tent door, listening to God speak, and she's laughing. And God asked the husband, who didn't know his wife was laughing, why did Sarah laugh? Can you imagine Abraham? My wife laughed? I don't know. But anyway, that's the fun part of that. But God asked this question. Verse 14, he says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And God says to him, at the appointed time, I will return unto you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And that's a question God is asking each one of us. I may not know your circumstance, but that's all right. God knows exactly what you're faced with. Maybe there are battles that you're faced with, circumstances that have lasted for 25 years, 30 years, but God is challenging you today once again to trust him, to have faith in his word, to anchor our faith on his word, his unchanging promises, to approach him knowing he is all powerful. And is anything too hard for the Lord? Whatever is our natural challenge, it can be financial, it can be physical, it can be emotional, it can be a battle in your mind that's been going on, it can be an addiction, it can be a bondage, it can be maybe regarding your children, maybe they're married, they're gone, you look at them and you know that they are not living according to the way you want them to live under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and the devil says, well, your time is over. No, it's not. Is anything too hard for the Lord? There comes a time that we have to draw a line and say enough is enough. There is a time that we all should come and should become part of our lifestyle, that we are aggressive in our spirit, where we become militant, where we read the word of God, where we recognize who our God is, where we say, God, give me a revelation of who you are, that you are an unlimited God, and that nothing is impossible to you, and I refuse to accept my circumstance as it is. Hallelujah. And this man, 100 years old, and his wife, 90, had to make a decision whether they're going to believe God or not. But both of them received the word of God, received the promise in their life, and something happened. The unlimited, divine stream of God's healing power begin to flood into that barren womb of Sarah at 90 years old. And God healed her and caused life to come through her. They were not to adopt a child. They are not to foster a child. They were to conceive and bring forth a child. Hallelujah. The Bible says in the Amplified Version, Hebrews 11:11, through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was long past the age of childbearing, because she considered God who had given her the promise to be faithful, reliable, trustworthy, and true to his word. The God you and I serve is reliable. Come on, somebody shout reliable. He is trustworthy. Come on, shout trustworthy. Faithful. True to his word. Hallelujah. Whatever is our natural challenge today, there is a miracle, a supernatural answer God has for whatever is our challenge, our need, whatever mountain has to move even tonight. There is a promise that God has already spoken. And that promise is not backed by a government. It's not backed by a human entity. It is backed by the Creator God who created heavens and the earth. And he's looking for men and women who will simply trust him just as he said he would do. Hallelujah. The Bible says, as Sarah received the promise, the impossible became possible. All she had to do is receive the word of God. Why? Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. The words of God are spirit and life. And life. That's why we need to read. That's why we need to memorize. That's why we need to meditate. That's why we need to cry out to the Holy Spirit, open your word to me. Because it's time that we stop living on oxygen and live on the word of God. Yes, we can breathe. But breathing with unbelief is a deadness. That's not the life God has. We need God's life to flow through us. We need his spirit to possess us. We need to ask ourselves, what is consuming us? It's so important that we are possessed by God. In my nation, if you come, you will see there are millions and millions of entities people call a god. And they will do these festivals. You know, sometimes these festivals, 3 days, a week long, depending on what it is. And some people will volunteer themselves to be possessed by what they call God. It's actually a demon possession. When it comes upon them, their eyes close. They do not know what's going on. They are totally possessed. It's those people who will run needles or nail through their cheeks, through their tongue, spikes. They'll put hooks on their back to pull this chariot with their idol on the top. And they are doing all that because they think it's pleasing to that God and that they are paying their price, a penalty for their sin. They are so possessed, they don't feel the pain at that moment. But when that possession leaves, you know, they are going to be in serious trouble. But, you know, if unbelievers can dedicate themselves to be possessed by the devil, should we not be possessed by the Holy Spirit? What would happen when a man and a woman is so full of the Holy Ghost? We will be like a Stephen. We will be like a Peter. You know, there's evidence they were full of the Holy Ghost. That should be our goal. Now, going back to this dear lady, you know, she believed God. Power of God entered her. And she was healed because she believed that the God she served is faithful, reliable, trustworthy, true to his word. And if you read Genesis chapter 21, the first and second verses, the Bible says, And God visited Sarah just as he said he would. And he did for Sarah just as he promised he would. For Sarah became pregnant and brought forth a son, you know, in her old age, and he was called Isaac. Isn't God good? There is a timing of God, a visitation. Now is the time. Now is the time. We have to have that living expectancy in our heart for God to move any moment. Any moment. I believe throughout those 25 years, as you look at God's word, this precious couple was always expecting God to touch them that day. That day was going to be the miracle day. And I believe God preserved this story for each one of us. You know, 25 years can go by, but God will not forget his word. God will not forget his word. And I don't think we are living in a time where we have to wait 25 years either. The God we serve is a miracle-working God. He is here with us. He is present in this place. And I'm encouraging you today to put your trust in the word of God. To put your trust in a God who cannot tell a lie. To put your trust in a God who healed this lady and blessed this couple with a boy. And yes, they became father of many nations. She became the mother of nations. And today, believers are spread across the world. That's what God saw. So numberless shall your seed be. When God spoke that, he saw you. He saw you. Abraham could not see us. He could not see his seed being numberless. But God saw that. Today there are believers. Wherever there is land, there are believers. And we are part of the descendants of Abraham through faith. Hallelujah. That God saw you even before. The God we serve is a miracle-working God. I want to share a couple of stories. When I was young, I was about 6 years old, five or six. My father was suddenly paralyzed, and he was laid in bed. One night, we all had dinner. Everything was fine, and we all went to bed. Next morning, he couldn't get up. He was just frozen. And both my parents were believers. They believed in divine healing, that God would touch them and heal them. And so my mother would pray. He was in excruciating pain. She would pray, and he'll go into a deep sleep. He'll sleep for hours, and he'll wake up. This went on for 40 days, no change. People come, could not even offer any faith. Most of them thought, Dad is just going to just die like that, and that was it. And every day, you know, I would have to climb his bed, look at his face to tell him goodbye as I'm going to school. And on the 40th day, the Lord began to speak to my mother, and he told her, you're praying, it's time to act on your faith. And he gave her the scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So my mother shared with my father what God spoke to her and told him, you say it in your heart, I'm going to speak it, and then I'm going to help you sit up. So they spoke the scripture, and she put her hand under his shoulder. You know, he hasn't sat up, and she pulled him up. As she pulled him up, the upper part of his body was totally healed. Every joint was loosened. And all the pain was removed. So speaking the same scripture, she reached his feet and pulled it to the side of the bed, and the lower part of his body was healed. Confessing and declaring the same scripture, she pulled him straight out of that bed. She's only 5'2", and full of faith. She pulled him up, and my dad stood for the first time in 40 days. And she told him, you better go to bed. We'll start doing this one more an hour later. And they did the same thing. Now he could take one step. By the time evening came, my father could get out of that bed unassisted, stand up, and walk diagonally across that room. And mother had a chair for him in the corner. And he'd go sit there for a minute or two or a few minutes, then get up and walk back. I came back from school straight to the kitchen. Trying to find food. My mother said, have you seen your father? I said, no. She said, go see him. So I said, okay. So I went over to the bedroom. And when I entered the bedroom, my father was laying in the bed just as he always was those 40 days, except he turned his head and looked at me. And I said, something is different. And then he says, watch this. And I'm standing there, and my father got up on his own, put his feet on the ground, stood up, and then walked slowly across all the way to the other side of the room. And he sat down, and I just stood there just watching him. I was seeing my father walk. That morning, when I left, my father was laid in that bed, could not move, in pain. And now he's walking. He got up and started walking back. Halfway through, he turned and looked at me, and he said, "Jesus healed me." Yeah. I never forgot that. That is before I knew any scriptures. That's before I knew any promises. I just knew Jesus is our healer. Yeah. Several years went by. We've always believed God for our healing. 1972, in India, there was a big shortage for gasoline or petroleum products. My family was using in those days gas that would come in tanks for cooking. Before that, we used firewood, coal, things like that. Now, things had gotten better. Just then, you know, the government had introduced cooking gas, so we were blessed. We even moved into a house where the kitchen didn't have a chimney. But the cylinder would last for a month. So one day, the cylinder was empty. My mother went to the phone, called the agency, and asked them to take our number down and send a new cylinder. Before she hung up, she asked the man, "When will I get the cylinder?" He said, "At least 30 days. My mother gasped, "30 days? And he says, "Yes, there's a shortage, there's a big waiting list, and when we get it, we'll send it to you." So she hung up the phone. She walked over to where I was sitting, and she says, "I'm not sure what we are going to do. 30 days, no gas. That means we have to go out and cook. No, I don't want to do that." And then she goes, "You know, the God we serve is a miracle-working God." And she walked into that kitchen, laid her hands on that cylinder, and began to pray. And she said, "Lord, you are a miracle-working God. Your name is Jehovah Jireh. You are a provider. I ask you to increase the supply of gas in the cylinder so that I can cook food for my family." And she thanked God for it. She turned the valve, struck a match, held it to the burner. A blue flame came. I'm sitting there watching that. And, you know, my mother cooked food, more food than ever before. And never ran out of the gas. And the cylinder didn't come at the end of 30 days. It was 90 days before we got a cylinder. And there was gas in that cylinder God was putting in there supernaturally. Hallelujah. Miracles don't happen only in a foreign country. That's a big lie the devil has perpetuated in this nation. As if God has just packed his bag and moved on to as a missionary somewhere. No, God is here just as much as he's anywhere else. And the God we serve knows our need. Whatever is our need, if we come to him, he will touch us and he will do a supernatural miracle. I want to share with you one more story. When my sixth child was being born, by now we are living in India. You know, after the fourth baby, we decided, let's just do home birth. You know, why go to this hospital and go through all this stuff? Really, home birth is a wonderful thing. You know, those of you who are planning to have children, you're looking at me. Really, you know, with a midwife, I tell you, it's inexpensive, beautiful, God is there. I've been there. We have seven. So, according to our calculation, we are living in India. To our calculation, the baby is to be born on September the 23rd. I had come across a midwife who lives in Indiana, quite nearby, and she is the wife of a physician who is also a midwife, and she goes to Christian family homes and help them deliver baby if they want to have the baby in their home. And so she tells me, "You pray, because I have a delivery just a few days before your child is coming, and I have to help deliver the baby in Ohio. Then I have to go back to India, and I get my bags, get a plane, and come to India." All right, so everything is in place. According to our calculation, not because somebody told us, you know, it's 23rd is the day of the birth. This lady arrives in India on the 22nd night, and the first thing she does when she reached our home was to take the little, device to find the fetal heartbeat to see how it is. And the heartbeat is in the upper part of the stomach, and instead of the lower part, because the baby had not turned and the head was not engaged. So that means we have a breached baby. And she looks at me, she says, your baby's breached. And she says, she asked me, do you have any emergency plans? I said, no. This baby, this baby is going to be born the way God engineered it. And she tells me, no, your baby is breached. And if the baby came out leg first or feet first, that baby is going to push the tube out and the tube will freeze on contact with the air. That means the baby will die and then your wife's life will also be in danger. So we said, well, you know, we're going to believe God. So she went to a room to sleep. We went upstairs and prayed. 6 hours we prayed, asking God to reach his invisible hand into my wife's stomach and turn the baby. 6:10 in the morning, my wife looks at me. She says, I'm ready to have the baby. See, for 9 months we pray, no pain, no long labor, quick, easy birth. And that's how it's always been. When she says baby's coming, 5 minutes max, baby's there. So I run downstairs and get this lady, come, 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 the baby's coming. She comes and she tells me, sir, another 3 hours of labor is involved. I said, my wife doesn't labor. When she says baby's coming, it's going to come. This lady won't believe me. Guess what? 2 minutes later, the baby came out. Here's the miracle. Head first. Yeah. Head first. Hallelujah. The Lord had turned this baby. Baby was 9.5 pounds, and that's why the lady said, you know, the head was hitting the rib cage, and so the baby didn't turn. But God reached in there, turned this baby around. When the placenta came, was birthed, the lady looked at it, and she said, if we had tried to manually turn this baby, this placenta would have detached, and we would have had a serious challenge in our hand. I'm here to tell you, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? There's nothing that's impossible with our God. And whatever is your challenge, he has an answer. He has a supernatural miracle. Not one area is off limits to God. Not one area in our life. Whatever it is, our children, their salvation, are they living for God? Our personal lives, our relationship, our finances, our health. Every sickness in our body, Jesus has already carried it, paid a full price. Why? So that we don't have to carry it and we don't need to pay a price. That's why we can believe God for our miracle even tonight. Amen? We're going to, Pastor's going to come, and afterwards, I'd love to stand here and pray for you.